Let's begin with prayer, if you would bow with me. Father God, we are honored to be in your presence big time, and it's just such an honor to be in your family and in this church body, and help us to realize that we're a part of the church body global, the ecclesia, and that you are working in so many areas all over the world, and yet in each of our lives individually. And we thank you for that. Help us to learn today from your word, from your spirit. And we thank you so much for all that you're doing through us and to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. The purity of your land. Now, this is interesting, kind of an odd title, because in the Old Testament, God teaches us a lot from the Old Testament, lessons of comparison. Some may call it types and shadows, right? For instance, there's the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament. They did that literally. Our sacrificial lamb, of course, is Jesus. There's the, in the Old Testament, they had the temple and the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where the Spirit of God was living at the time. And today we are that Ark of the Covenant. We are the temple, and the Spirit lives within us, right? They had a very physical covenant in the Old Testament, and we have a very spiritual covenant. So there's a lot of things that we learn from the Old Testament and the Israelites, how God related with them, and we can learn that lesson spiritually in our lives. And one of the things that God has been teaching me along those lines, another comparative lesson, is purity in my land. See, God teaches the Israelites on several occasions, be careful of the impurities in your land, the pollution that you have to keep out of your land. Keep your land pure. And I realized that reading through the Old Testament that if the Israelites wanted God in their midst, they had to get the pollution out of their midst, the pollution in their land. For instance, Numbers 35:34, you shall not defile the land in which you live, the midst of which I dwell. God's like, I live here too. Clean up after yourself. All right. You wives know what I'm talking about. Clean up after yourself. I live here too. He says, for I, the Lord, am dwelling in the midst of the sons of Israel. And now, see, he lives on the inside of us by his Spirit, and he desires that we also keep ourselves pure, our spirits pure. That's where he lives too. We have to keep ourselves free from pollution. In 2 Timothy 1:14, he says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. God was teaching me, purify your land. Purge the pollution from your land. Many times in the Old Testament, God said this. Now, I will say this. Let's get this clear right off the bat. A lot of times in the Old Testament, the Israelites were supposed to purify their land from the inhabitants that were already there. God was giving them land. God drove the inhabitants out, or sometimes they had to drive them out. We're not talking about isolating ourselves physically from people that don't agree with us. We're doing the comparison physical to spiritual, right? Okay, so we're not supposed to drive inhabitants out of our land. But the pollution and the inhabitants that get in our spirits, that's what we're talking about today. That's the comparison we're talking about. And plus, even back then, God did give the Canaanites opportunity to trust in him and to believe in him. And he actually gave foreigners ability to be a part of that religion. So we're not necessarily talking about that, but we're talking about the pollution in our spirit, the spiritual pollution that we get. A lot of times they had God warned them, said, don't let your sons and your daughters marry off into these other cultures, because they were terrible, detestable cultures. I read some reports this week that in those days, the Canaanites had some awful, awful religious customs that they went through that I won't go into detail over. It's very gross. But God was purifying that land, purifying his people. Okay, here's an example in Joshua chapter 7, verse 10. Joshua just led the Israelites to victory over Jericho. And they were told when they won this war, specifically things that they were allowed to take from Jericho and things that they specifically were not allowed to take from Jericho. Namely, and especially, graven images, gods that they worshipped, right? Now also remember, Israel's just come out of 400 years of slavery in a culture that had many gods. So they're relearning. God is reestablishing monotheology to them, you know, one God. I am your God, you are my people, I'm going to take care of you. So they go into Jericho, and sure enough, there's some people that disobey, and they take some stuff that they're not supposed to have. Joshua 7, verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have taken some things, they have taken some of the things under the ban, and both have stolen and deceived. Moreover, get this, on top of stealing and deceiving, they put some of the things that they weren't supposed to have among the things that they are supposed to have. You took the culture's gods and graven images and you mixed it in with your own. That's pollution. Just like in our lives, if we allow pollution in our spirits, it will begin to make an impact in our lives. We can't always control what goes on around us, nor should we. However, we, with God's help, can and should control the things that go on the inside of us. Amen? That's our land. So what is a pollutant? Well, pollution for the Israelites was anything that could lead or influence them away from God and towards other gods. The breaking of their covenant with God. Customs and beliefs that were contrary to the knowledge and presence of God. For instance, 1 Kings 11, 2b says, for they will surely turn your hearts away after their gods. Pollution was anything that could influence you away from God. Ungodly negative influence. All right? Ungodly negative influence. Think about that. Ungodly negative influence. That's pollution. That's what we got to get out, and that's what we got to keep out. There's two types of pollution, I figure. Obvious and covert. The obvious pollution, things in your life, obviously if you keep this stuff in your life, it's going to send you down the wrong direction. Right? Those are the big ones. Nobody has to tell you these are obvious things, that if you keep doing this, it's going to be bad news for you. But there's the covert pollution, and those are the things that are a lot smaller, but yet probably just as dangerous or more. These are the things, the covert pollution is the stuff that you can keep from public. It's not in the public eye. It's not things that are going to be known by everybody that just sees you. They affect our mind, our thinking, and our feelings. It may not be noticeable, but it can easily accumulate to dangerous, influential levels. It could be, for instance, guilt over what you've done in the past. Does it ever sneak up on anybody? Don't raise your hands. It could be shame because of something that's happened in your past by somebody else. There's a lot of that these days. People feel shame for something they didn't do, but it was done to them. It could be just a feeling of worthlessness. That's also happening a lot more these days, it seems like, than what I ever remember. People just don't feel adequate to do what they need to do, to carry on throughout another day. Could be anger, bitterness about something that somebody's done to you. These things are covert pollutants. Paul uses the term every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in the King James Version. The NASB, the New American Standard Bible, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, we are destroying speculations or thoughts, reasonings. We're destroying speculations and we are destroying every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Lofty thing comes from the Greek word hupsoma, which means an elevated, raised, or something that can be and sometimes is used as a barrier. Interesting, right? We're destroying these lofty things that raises itself up against the knowledge of God and taking every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. Think about that wording. Anything raised up against the knowledge of God. We know what the knowledge of God is, right? What does the Bible say, for instance? Let's use this example. What does the Bible say about my past sins? Well, the Bible says God loved me so much. I don't know about you, but he loved me. No, not really. He loved the whole world. And he loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son, the perfect sacrifice to pay for my sins completely. So that I can repent, and then when I do, I'm free from those sins that the devil tries to hold against me. And I can now have a relationship with my Father God in heaven. And someday spend eternity with him. That's the knowledge of God. Amen? That's what the Bible says. So what Paul says is anything that tries to get in my head that seems to be a little bit contrary to that knowledge is a lofty thing raising itself up against the knowledge of God, and I am supposed to destroy it. Right? Every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul makes it sound like we control what we think about. Right? But I feel that... Don't mean to be harsh, but Christianity doesn't deal a whole lot with feelings. But that's a whole nother sermon. I'll let you marinate on that. But Paul says we can control what we think about. Even if there's some sort of chemical imbalances and things that we have, hey, bodies get sick, I get it, that's understandable. I also know someone that can heal that right up. God can heal us. Let's control what we think about. What are some of the things or thoughts that may be contrary to the presence of God or the knowledge of God that maybe you have allowed in your life and never cleaned out, like anxiety, worry or fear, bitterness, anger, a feeling of worthlessness? or suicide, that's pollution. Paul says destroy it. Take it into captivity. When you capture something, you're in control. And then you bring it to the obedience of Christ. Do not tolerate it. Get that out. Now, the world may see some of these things and thoughts as natural. This is just human nature. Everybody has these thoughts. There's a lot of people thinking that way these days. But we still have to ask ourselves, do these thoughts and feelings exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, or do they line up with God's logic? If they don't line up with God's logic, we need to attempt to clear out our land. Get those things out of there. We have to think positively. And I know I'm not one of these guys saying, well, that's just easy, just change your mind. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that we need to take steps in that direction. You with me? Could it be that we have unknowingly allowed into our land pollution, and it is built up over time and causes cycles of battles in our lives that we have to fight unnecessarily? Because that's what happened to the Israelites. God said, you got to keep these people out. And instead, there's many examples, but one of them was the Israelites didn't kick them out and began to use them as forced labor, slaves. What happened is a couple of generations go by, and all of a sudden there's mixed marriages and all this stuff, mixed cultures and all of these things, and they begin to go down a bad road of religion. And it caused them to be redirected away from God. So that's why we have to be careful about harboring guilt, shame. Don't let that stuff in there. Don't let it keep you up at night. It's dangerous. Speaking of dangers, what is the dangers of pollution? Let's look at some of the dangers of pollution. I want you to turn to Joshua 7. We started reading this passage earlier. I want to continue on with it to look at the dangers of this. Joshua 7. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and they have even taken some of the things under the ban, and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them into their own things." Verse 12. "Therefore, because of that, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst." Is that what this says? That's right. "Rise up," he says, "consecrate the people," and say, "consecrate yourselves." Here again, consecrate, that's like sanctification. That's separating yourself from the culture that's around you. Consecrate yourself. God lives here too. Keep it clean. "Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst." What a great lesson. That's why pollution can be so dangerous. Let me give you four dangers of pollution. Allowing things into our life that we shouldn't. Pollution, number one, pollution is easily tolerable in small increments. it can unknowingly grow one small piece at a time. Charles Spurgeon preached a message one time. He told a story about a Scottish gentleman going on vacation to Australia. And he says, "This is a beautiful land, but it lacks thistle." Thistle being Scottish flower, right? There's no thistle in Australia. So he thought, well, I'll just send one of my buddies in Australia a little packet of seeds of thistle. Well, several years later, the thistle was so thick in Australia that it began to impact farming crops, livestock farming, all kinds of things, and they had to figure out what to do about all of this thistle in Australia. Australia wasn't set up to handle thistle. Charles Spurgeon says, "Take heed of the thistle seed. Little sins are like it. Take care that they are not admitted into your heart. Please be careful of even the smallest pollutants, and don't tolerate them in your spirits and in your hearts, your lives." Number two, pollution secretly calluses. Or desensitization, right? Have you ever put something in your yard that was really supposed to go out to the trash and it stayed there for quite a while and 30 years later and now you just hang decorations on it? That old washing machine is not proper lawn decor. We try to make it okay by putting Christmas decorations on it, but really it's something that wasn't supposed to be there in the first place and we just kind of leave it. It causes callus. Underneath it, not only does the grass die, that's very obvious, but it begins to ruin the earth underneath it. When you remove that old washing machine, you'll have to till and fertilize that land to get it to operate correctly after that. It calluses. If we're not careful, we get so accustomed to seeing things or hearing things that our spirits are no longer shocked. I don't notice the cobwebs in this room, but I'm here every day. Not this room, David. Not this room's clean at my house. Not my house, somebody else's house. Things that should not be allowed in our lands in the first place become ordinary and expected. Anybody ever watch the Dick Van Dyke Show? Yeah. What was that, 70s? Do you realize that the most risque thing on TV in that day was the fact that Dick Van Dyke and his on-TV wife, when they went to bed at night, kids, you listen to this, when they went to bed at night, not only were they fully clothed in pajamas, their beds were separated. There was space between the bed, and that was the most risky thing on TV. Imagine that. And then think about even the commercials that we see these days. Oh, I've grossed some of you out. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't watch TV anymore, but I'm saying be careful what you become okay with. Sin calluses. Pollution desensitizes. Number three, pollution alters direction. The flow of travel, access. That's what pollution does. I watched another TV show, more recent, called Hoarders. Anybody watch that? Okay. I watched a few episodes, but you would go into this beautiful big house, the one that I watched, beautiful big house, and you go in, the door doesn't open all the way up. There's just little pathways between the trash or collectibles or whatever they have all throughout the house. Even getting into a next room, one of them had to climb over a pile of trash underneath the doorway to even get in the room. And that started with one piece of trash. And now it constitutes how they access their house. Is that much like our own spirits? We have a piece of trash. We allow a little bit of pollution in, and we don't move it. We just walk around it, and it begins to build. It's there. We just kind of push it aside. And if we continue to do that, it begins to constitute how we access God. Did you see me swallow? Instead of taking the trouble to get rid of it, don't push it aside. Sometimes we need to deal with the pollution in our life. Sometimes we need to deal with that guilt and that pain. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Number fourth tip. Pollution diminishes God's involvement in your circumstance. Did you know that? Pollution can diminish God's involvement in your circumstance. It did for Joshua and the Israelites. He said, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Even in Mark 6, 5 and 6, about Jesus, he says he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he wondered at their unbelief. This means you impact how God operates through you. Your thought process can enhance or diminish God's work through your life. Pollution in your mind can affect how God gets you through this circumstance. Jill and I like to watch nature shows. Anybody else like to watch nature shows? There's a lot of them these days, and I'm thankful for that. But usually on these nature shows, there's a segment on there, a little talk about environmental health. Going green is what they call it, right? Have you heard of going green, everybody? Heard of going green? It's like be ecologically intelligent and active for the sake of the health of our planet and the people that live here, right? Going green. Now, I don't mean to be too awfully cheesy. However, America does love cheese. But we're talking about this going green, and I thought, you know, that sounds a lot like the study that I'm doing about the purity of my land. Going green, spiritually. So I went to a website, it's like the first or second website about going green. There were four tips that I want to share with you, just to make it memorable. Four tips about going green. Number one, educate yourself and others on our environmental footprint. In other words, he says, know how your activities impact the environment. Well, spiritually, that's true as well. Know how you impact those around you, because Paul said that we are now the ambassadors of Christ and have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Be aware of your spiritual footprint. Number two tip on going green. This is from a non-Christian website, by the way. Commit to making small but important changes to your lifestyle. Exactly. Old things are passed away. All things become new. if we are going to get rid of the pollution in our lives and not allow any more in, it may change what we listen to, what we watch on TV, where we go, possibly even who we hang out with. Number three tip for going green spiritually: make informed consumer choices. Before you act or react or think or do, please make sure that you have the correct information from the correct source. If you're going to post something on Facebook, please make it from the correct source, the correct information. There's a lot of people, and I think this will be more and more and more as we get closer to the end. There's going to be a lot of misinformation, supposedly from the Bible, that's really not. Be careful. Be informed about what you're doing. Take thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Read about it. Read your Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All right? Number four, this is my favorite one. Volunteer and donate.
Yeah.
That's what it said. Got to go with it. How did that get there? Luke 6:38. I knew that you'd get a kick out of that one. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap measure, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So let me summarize this real quick. And I want to read this scripture in summary. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Hallelujah for that, for starters. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds. You see, God has given you clean land, a clean slate. And we're responsible for keeping the pollution out of it. That's the negative feelings, the negative thoughts, anything that's contrary to what God says, we need to keep out. Now listen, please don't look at this as God trying to put another bunch of rules on you. God wasn't trying to just put a bunch of rules on the Israelites to see if they would obey. What God's trying to do here, realize that God wants to save you from being enslaved in the prison that Satan wants you to become comfortable in. Those feelings, thoughts of worthlessness, doubt, worry, and fear, it's pollution. Your past, shame, guilt, it's pollution. Only you and God can control that. You're going to need to partner with God to get rid of that pollution. God can help you clean that out completely, but only you can allow it back in. Allow yourself to be free from that bondage and have a relationship with your Father God, because he loves you. And it comes down to this: God just wants to be your God. He wants you to be his person. He wants to be with you. He wants to be reconciled with you. Will you stand with me, please?